Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 84. For the director of music, according to Gideth, of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. Good morning. Even though we're grandparents, we actually spend a lot of our time with young adults, so feel right at home this morning. We have been, over 30 years in Germany as IWs, as they call us, international workers with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And so we're kind of getting used to this idea of we're back in Canada now. We talk to people and they say, you're back, like you're back for good. And we say, yes, we believe it's for good. The Germans say forever. And when they say, are you going back to Canada forever? We'd always say, no, we'll be back for visits. But we are here and we're trying to settle in here and get used to, just the next segment of our lives. We have some prayer cards. I think they're out in the foyer somewhere. If you want to have us on your fridge or your dartboard or wherever you put pictures of missionaries, please feel free to take one. And that was a joke. You can laugh. It's okay to laugh in church. We were thinking about, what do we write on our prayer card? Because we can't write serving with CMA in Germany anymore. So we just were praying, asking God, what is sort of the tagline for the rest of our lives? And this is what he gave us, fueling passion for the King and his kingdom. When you go out for lunch or a drink or anything with Germans, there's a bit of etiquette that we always have to teach our North American friends, that you don't, as soon as they bring the drinks first, of course, but you don't take a sip, no matter how thirsty you might be, until everyone at the table, even if it's a big group, till everyone has their drink, and then you toast one another before you take a sip. And the toast that we've started to use in our community is to the King and his kingdom. Just remind ourselves that that's what we're about. That's what our life is to be, seeking first the kingdom of God. And that's what we believe is our focus for the next season of our lives.
And so if you get a prayer card on the back, there's also some information. It talks about two of the main prayer requests we have. They have the two words M, they're both starting with the word or the letter M, multiplication and mobilization. Does anyone here this morning have at least one M in their name or two M's? You've got one M? How many have, someone have two M's? Okay, those who have at least one M in their name, I'm going to put this on the communion table. It's a place of communion, but I'm also going to put this package of M&Ms on there. And the first person to come up and get that, you're a bit... You got a good advantage here, but I'll put that there, and whoever wants to come prayerfully
perfectly good.
And take the M&Ms, okay.
Mary just committed to pray for us.
And the catch on that was that you commit to pray for these two M. So on the back of, thank you. So on the back of the card, it talks about multiplication. This morning, actually in German time, it's already afternoon. For the first time in our short history in Heidelberg, the last place we've been serving, they've had to have two house churches meet in two different places. So we're taking small steps towards multiplication. But we really want to see more people. We want to see the multiplication of disciples, followers of Jesus, of multiplication of leaders, and also the multiplication of house churches, or what we call missional communities. And also just pray for us as we seek to serve the Lord, as Ruth said, in this time in Canada, praying also for that in Germany, mobilizing people to come to know Christ and to make him known where they live. Thank you. We know you as a church, your pastor was sharing with us how committed they are to missions, and that involves what's called the Global Advance Fund, GAF. I don't have any candies for that one, but the Global Advance Fund, as I like to say, puts the schnitzel on our table and the sprit in our tank so we can drive on the Autobahn. So we've enjoyed, at least I've enjoyed that part of living in Germany. But thank you for giving to the Global Advance Fund. And even though we're home for this 1 year, we still need that kind of support. And we're praying that the support would increase through the Global Advance, that many more young adults, older as well, would be sent to those places where there's still no access to Jesus in the way that we're used to. So thank you for giving. And if you want to contact us or be on our Facebook page, or get our prayer letter, there's also an email address on there. You can check that out.
I was just looking at you this morning and thinking, maybe a lot of you don't think about a place like Germany, but we have often, as we walk across a bridge from where we lived into the city and passed through, had to weave our way through many, many tourists. We've often thought, we wish we spoke Cantonese or Mandarin.
Yeah.
So many people there. Many people from China who maybe have never heard about Jesus. I don't know. I know there are many, many Christians in China. I know the church is very strong there. But we've often thought, here they are in a place where it would be easier for them to hear about Jesus. We need some Mandarin speakers. We need some Cantonese speakers. There are many, many students coming from China to study in Germany. There are many people doing postdoctoral research. So if you have just even a little bit of a sense that maybe God might be calling you, even for a short time, to Germany, talk to us after, because it certainly is a place where we could use people with your skills. So we've had this mental image of fire as we thought about the idea of fueling and passion. The fire idea, it's mentioned many times in Scripture. In the Old Testament, God sealed his covenant with Abraham with supernatural fire. Moses heard God's voice out of the bush in the desert that was burning without being consumed. The people of Israel were led through the desert by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Fire came down on the sacrifice to show Gideon that God was with him. Elijah called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, and that was a clear message to the pagan priests that Elijah's God was the one true God. A picture that I love is that in the tabernacle and later in the temple, the fire on the altar was to be kept burning 24/7 as a reminder of the presence of God there. And the priests were very careful to tend that fire and not let it go out. As we sang this morning, actually, the fire, I can't remember the line, but something about the Spirit lit the fire, lit the flame when the church was born. The Holy Spirit revealed his presence with tongues of fire. The disciples, just before that, the disciples on the road to Emmaus who encountered Jesus and at first didn't recognize him, later they said, Why didn't we know it was him? Of course it was Jesus. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked beside us? The presence of Jesus and his revelation was causing their hearts to burn. When we spend time close to the fiery heart of Jesus, our hearts will burn. We'll catch fire. You know how fire catches. It springs from one place to another. And our hearts will burn with what burns in his heart, his love for the nations, for all peoples, his desire that all people be saved and come to know him. Today we'd like to briefly introduce you to our community in Heidelberg. We worked for many years in Mannheim, planted a church there. There's another daughter church that came out of that. And then 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, we started a community in Heidelberg. And we call it New Song. This title is, or this name is based on the scene described in Revelation 5:9, where people from every nation will gather before the throne and they will sing a new song. It's a group of about 30 to 35 people, and most of them are young adults, as I mentioned. They're from many different nations. And they're ones whose hearts burn for Jesus and for the nations. I just recently got a WhatsApp. We're still in one of the WhatsApp groups from there. And there was a girl who came new to the city to study. This kind of happens every fall. We get some new students coming. And she was writing to her friends. She said, I found my new church. I love this group of people in this house church. Their hearts burn for Jesus. And I was so thrilled to hear that that's how she described these people. They're led by a really amazing team of leaders. Some people have wondered, what's going to happen now? You're leaving, but there's a great leadership team from left, right? Is that right? Left to right. It's Lewis Martin. He's a German. He's an engineer, and he's a wonderful leader. Carissa Gilbertson, she's also a CMA IW from Canada, like we are. And then Eric and Yana Supen, he's Nigerian, she's German. We've known them for many years, and they've worked a lot with Youth with a Mission, and he continues to teach for them. And he writes books, and he makes videos, and he does all kinds of other stuff, and we're very thankful that they're also on our leadership team. And although we're no longer there, we hope that when you look at our card, you pray for the community that's there. And this is our mission statement from the community there: to influence, equip, and release disciple-making disciples of Jesus Christ, fueled by apostolic vision, prophetic insight, and the love of Christ, who multiply missional communities in Heidelberg and beyond. At the end, we'll show you some people who are doing part of the beyond. But right now, as Ralph said, even this Sunday, the first Sunday that they began to meet in two locations. We call ourselves a missional community because we want to think of ourselves as a family on mission. You know, being community is fairly easy. Like, you just love each other and get together and you eat together and all of that. But being missional is sometimes harder. But we find it so much easier when you're in community. So we have this goal of building a network of these communities. Heidelberg's filled, as I mentioned before, with all kinds of international students, postdoctoral researchers, business people, and new immigrants. And we realize that many of these people come from countries where they never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus or to be discipled, perhaps. And we want to step into this window of time when they're there and bless them. Some of them we've had the opportunity to baptize them, to disciple them, and send them back to wherever their country is. This picture of Achille, he just was being prayed for here. He just had his birthday yesterday, and he was writing again on WhatsApp. and the whole community is just encouraging him. He's back in India now, and to encouraging him to pass on all the things that he learned while he was with us. So we would have loved to bring some of those people with us, but we couldn't do that. So we'll just show you a short little video with some of the pictures of some of the faces. That's the house we got to live in. And so you just get a bit of a taste. pretty still video right now, but it will start moving soon. I hope. Do you want to skip to the next video? Okay, we'll try this one. This is a young man named Drew, and he was specifically called to Heidelberg after being there on two visits with prayer teams from a house church in South Carolina. It's kind of a crazy story how God led them to us. And this past spring, he moved to Heidelberg by faith, got a job, found a place to live with one of our guys, and he's just serving in the community. Oh, it's starting. All right, we'll go back. It's good. You can go back to that one. Want to play the one of Drew right away?
From USA. My name is Drew, and I'm from USA. My name is Drew, and I'm from USA. So one thing I love about missional community and what drew me in the first place is I really, in college and university back in the States, I was drawn to missional community, and it had such an integral role in my life of maturing in the faith and, yeah, just finding who I was more in God. And so it's one thing that I would attribute to my growth, my spiritual growth, and my ability to stay pursuing God with passion. And the other thing that I am really passionate about is just connecting God's people from all over the world, which is a big reason that I came to Heidelberg in the first place. There's such a vast array of of culture in this city, and it's one thing I'm passionate about. It's just seeing, God's people come together, and also just the simplicity that missional community embodies. It embodies Jesus's movement, Jesus's ministry, and it was meant to be simple, but meant to be intentional. And that's what I love so much about missional community, and that's why I'm here.
Thank you. We'll show you just a few other pictures of some of the people that God brought to us. Gowen came from South Korea to study medicine in Germany. Can you imagine going and first having to learn the other language and then studying medicine? She just actually finished all her exams and she's doing her internship. She's now married and has a little baby. So if you think of Gowen in the next while, pray for her. It's just... It's a very busy and a bit of a tough time in her life right now. But she just really felt that God called her to Germany specifically to minister there. And God's been using her in so many different ways. She has started praying for New Song even before Ralph and I got there. She was kind of the first person in Heidelberg and started praying. And so we're very thankful for her. She has a heart on fire for prayer, for evangelism, and for healing. And then Melly and Simeon, they're leaders in our community. I'm sorry, you can't really see them very well. She's holding the baby in one. She's German. He's South African. And Melly has a very strong evangelistic gift. She can and does speak to just about anywhere, anybody, anywhere, and she invites them into the community. So we had some pictures from brunch at their house today, and they had 12 people from our missional community and 8 guests. I'm guessing that they invited all those 8 guests. They're probably neighbors and friends of theirs. They have such a missional heart. Simeon is also a doctor, a new, just starting out doctor, so he has lots of crazy hours. But they really commit several hours a week to pray for the community, pray for specific people, and to speak to people about Jesus. It's just wonderful to have people with hearts like that as part of our community. And I just want to introduce you briefly with this last video to Caro and Simon. Caro was one of our first leaders in the community, and God's taking them on some new adventures.
Hello, hi. We are Caroline and Simon from Germany, and we will move to Kenya in January 2020 as missionaries. We want to share with you how God spoke to us and called us to do what is on his heart.
As we were in Kenya for 2 weeks last year, God has revealed his heart over the people to us. He has shown us vision, future, and hope for the broken, bounded, and poor. And he has allowed us to see how people got healed physically and how he encountered them. In that time, God gave both of us, independent from one another, the deep desire to move to Kenya and to serve there. Our vision is that broken people get healed and free, and that they receive vision for their own lives. We want to lead them into encounter to God, because we believe that this will change their lives totally. In practice, we will work in Kenya in a children's home, as well as in the slums in Mombasa. We want to evangelize, to disciple, and to serve in healing and deliverance. We believe that God will use us to do what is on his heart.
And here is our question to you. How about whom or what has God revealed his heart to you? And where is your place to serve? God bless you. Bye.
Bye. Aren't they awesome? Such a delight to know them. We've been learning a lot from these young people. They've got such a heart for God, and they look to us as spiritual father and mother. But we say to them, yeah, but actually we want to be with you. Actually, we're trying to keep up with you. And they're just so passionate for the Lord. And so we're learning from them as Ruth mentioned New Song, this community of believers that has the nations on its heart, that more and more people would fall before the Lord Jesus. And so they are really young adults who are alive for God. But the one who stirs this passion, as we sang in that song today, the Spirit who lights the fire, it's the Lord Jesus. He's the fiery, the passionate one. And in Revelation chapter 1, where John had this revelation of Jesus, there's several things that he saw, but the one thing that he saw was the fire, that his eyes were like blazing fire, the fire in his eyes. It's also said in John chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus was cleansing the temple, that the description of him from the Old Testament was he had zeal for the house of God. It consumed him because he said this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all the nations. So Jesus is our most wonderful example of someone who's on fire for the purposes of God, for God's presence, fueled by his own sense of love from the Father. And so once you've encountered this love of Jesus, you're changed, and this fire that he has for us can consume us as well. And we want to keep this fire tended and going, as Ruth said from the Old Testament. There's a wonderful passage that Paul has where in many translations it talks about the fire of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. There's a translation in German called the New Geneva Bible, and this is a loose translation from German into English. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit become ever stronger in you, or let the fire burn that ignited in you. Or the Message translation, don't burn out, keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Or a couple of other English translations, keep your passion toward him boiling hot, or be fiery in the Spirit. And as I like to say, these aren't polite Canadian suggestions. You know, if you don't mind, if you don't, you know, if it's not too difficult, you know, we as Canadians, we're known in Germany as super polite. We talk around things. We don't talk as directly as Germans do, but we're learning to be direct. But these are not suggestions. They are commands. They are from the Lord through Paul, because he longs for us not to be passive, but to be passionate. So he's inviting us into this as commands, as invitations to obey him. And the key to all of this is encountering Jesus. Once you've seen him, he lights this fire in you, and he will ignite this fire in us. And he wants to, as it could be said in other ways, he wants to baptize us in his love, in his fire. He wants to immerse us, overwhelm us by his love through the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist says, I am baptizing with water for repentance, but there's one coming that's more powerful than I am. I'm not even worthy to kneel down and untie his sandals. And when he comes, he's going to, as one translation says, he's going to baptize with the Spirit of holiness and with raging fire. Powerful way of describing. We often just say the Holy Spirit. Well, he's a Spirit of holiness, Holy Spirit, and he wants to baptize with raging fire. Ruth and I, we lived in Vancouver for a number of years, or 2 years at least, back in the early 80s, and I was attending Regent College, and she was working at 10th Avenue Church, and we got to know these two older ladies in the church, the mother and the daughter. The mother was over 90 years old, I think 93 or 94 years old. The daughter might have been 70. That seems young now to me. But these two ladies were quite the pair. And we got to know them. We ended up grandma sitting. They lived in West Vancouver, beautiful home right on the water. It was an amazing setup. And three things that we got to know about these ladies, especially the grandma, the mother. The number one is, so this is 1982, 1983. She was already 94 years old. She lived in Maine, in the United States, on the East Coast, and the founder of our movement, his name is Albert Simpson, A.B. Simpson. He spoke in these missions conferences at these camps in Old Orchard Beach, Maine. This woman, we can't remember her name, saw him speak. I wanted to go, can I touch your hand? You know, you saw A.B. Simpson. What was that like? This man of passion for the nations. And the other interesting thing about them was they always, when they cooked their vegetables, they kept the water. You know, we're kind of wasteful. We cook the water, or we cook the vegetables, take the vegetables out, and put it down the drain. They kept this water and drank it. And I thought, maybe that's the secret to being 94 years old. But the third thing was that we learned from these two ladies was, you know, when you have a cup of coffee or even some soup or something and it's getting a little tepid or not quite as warm or hot as you would like it, they don't just say, can I warm that up for you? They always would say, can I hotty that up for you? Can I make it hotter? Well, we've used that phrase now in our family for many, many years and kind of acknowledging them. So I want to be very careful. You don't misunderstand me. But Jesus said of him by John the Baptist, he wants to baptize us in the spirit of holiness. And I say this very carefully, and the spirit of haughtiness. He wants to haughty us up. He wants to bring us to a boiling point. He wants to bring fire in our hearts, that we not let the fire go out, that we aren't passive, but rather passionate. And so the vision that Isaiah had in chapter 6 of Isaiah, he says, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw him in his temple. He saw how holy he was. The angels kept crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The spirit of holiness. He saw this vision. And then the light of his holiness, God's holiness, he repented of his sin. And then, as you know the story, the angel came and had taken a coal from that place of fire, and he brought it and touched his lips. He encountered the very fiery presence, the raging fire of God, and it empowered him. And then the Lord said, who can I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, having been encountering the holiness of God and encountering this holy fire, this burning fire of God, he says, here I am, send me. And so when we encounter the holiness of God, he purifies, powers us, and gives us the motivation to be apostolic, to be sent ones, to be missional. Because I hope many of you have encountered the Lord over the course of your lives, and I pray that that would be the case for even today, that we would encounter his presence. We don't want to let that fire go out. We don't want to let this passion subside. And so we've been learning with our community there in Heidelberg several ways to keep this fire going. And I'm going to rapid fire give you 7 ways that you could keep this fire going. If you're making notes, you'll have to write shorthand. Maybe writing it in Chinese is faster, I don't know. Here are 7 ways to keep this fire going. Number 1, deal quickly with sin. Like, ask God for an understanding of his holiness, how amazingly holy he is, and that he will forgive us when we confess our sins. But deal quickly with sin. Don't let anything come between you and the Lord. Don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Number 2, guard your heart and mind. Keep a really clear sense of what truths or what thoughts you have in your mind. Number 3, seek to create a worship atmosphere in your home, in your car, and in your head. Just keep worship as a way of living your life. We have worship music. We love classic music as well. We love a bit of jazz. But we, more than anything, we keep worship music playing in our home. Even this morning as we got up, have music playing, and it just sets the atmosphere. Have it playing in your car or playing it in your headphones or when you're walking or jogging. Number 4, foster a life of prayer. Don't slack off in just seeking the Lord. And do it with others especially. Sometimes it's hard to do it on our own, to keep that discipline. Just phone up or do a FaceTime or a video chat with somebody and say, hey, can we do that once a week, even for 5 minutes, just to keep the spirit of prayer going. Number 5, read the word. Ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ask God to stir longing in your heart to hear from him, to read with a hungry heart and an expectant heart. Number six, tell God stories to each other. It's so encouraging when you hear what God is doing and your heart is lifted up, faith arises in your heart, he stirs hunger in your heart and passion when we tell stories of what God has been doing. And finally, number seven, there may be other things that you practice, but become a family, become an individual, become a couple, become a church of burning hearts. Some of you might watch the CTV news with Lisa LaFlamme. Anybody here named Lisa? I didn't think there might be, but Lisa, her last name is, you could say, translate it, Lisa the Flame, the Fire. You know, I'd like to have that as my second name, Ralph the Fire. But I just believe God wants us to have burning hearts and even to be known as a flame, a person on fire. So I'm praying for you, as Ruth and I pray for ourselves and our people that we care for, that we'd be overwhelmed by his holiness, by God's holiness, that he would stir a passion in our hearts for living in step with the Holy Spirit. And we're praying that you would become a church even more on fire. Did you know the country of Azerbaijan in Central Asia is known as the land of fire? It has some natural gas resources, and some of them, like the geysers in some of the national parks in the U.S., there's apparently one fire that's been burning for 4,000 years. It's never gone out. It's called the land of fire. And so I'm praying that we would have a constant fire, constant flame for God. And I believe that the move of God that he wants to bring in Vancouver, in your lives, in your church, really needs every one of us to be on fire for God, because we're designed to carry fire. And Jesus is the fire starter. He's the one who can keep the fire going. So let him burn within you. Let him burn among you. And as it says in one song, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Would you stand with me as we conclude? I want to pray a prayer that you can pray with me. You don't have to do this. It's totally voluntary. You have to trust me. But I'm going to give one phrase at a time. And if you really believe this in your heart, pray it out loud, one sentence at a time with me. And if it would help you, put your hand on your chest, on your heart, and just say, oh God, burn this fire in my heart. And this is how we're going to pray. And so as a response today, would you pray with me? So I'm going to pray one phrase, and then you can pray out loud. So here we go. We worship you, Holy God.
We worship you, Holy God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We welcome your holy presence.
We welcome your holy presence.
We give you our total allegiance.
We give you our total allegiance.
We submit to you, our loving King.
We submit to you, our loving King.
Come and show us your glory.
Overwhelm us with your holiness.
Fill us with your Holy Spirit.
Fill us with your Holy Spirit.
Make us to be a holy people.
Make us to be a holy people.
Purge us and cleanse us.
Purge us and cleanse us.
And come like a raging fire.
And come like a raging fire.
Fuel our hearts.
Fuel our hearts.
Immerse us in your love. With your passion.
With your passion.
Set our hearts on fire.
Set our hearts on fire.
Give us burning hearts for you.
Give us burning hearts for you.
For your people.
For your people.
For those around us.
For those around us.
And for the nations.
And for the nations.
May we become a church on fire.
May we become a church on fire.
Amen. Please be seated.